And then, not for any sin of his own, he went to the cross and he died and laid down his life. And this passage of scripture tells us, whereas the first human was a human of the earth, this human is a human of the heaven. Why? Because he's a human of the Spirit. His Spirit is tied to the Holy Spirit. He has that connection with God. He is from heaven and he's going to go to heaven. Going to go back to heaven. And this sinless human laid down his life not to pay for his sins or shortcomings, but pay for ours, and then rose from the dead. And here's the wonderful fact, that when we place our faith into him, we move from being a descendant of the first Adam into being a descendant of the second Adam. And we're able to share in the old creation being dead. All that we inherited from Adam died with Christ. And all that Christ is and all that he has, on the basis that he is the first fruits, he is the one who lived the life that God created humans to live. He's the one who paid the price for all of us who hadn't. All that he is and all that he has is now ours because of the second Adam. In our faith in him. Which Adam are you and I of? Well, there's a question of position. If we never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are a descendant of Adam and will be judged accordingly. Is the eternal now God? It's always about now with God. God says, you've got something in the past, let it go. Let me forgive it. Don't worry too much about the future. God says, what about now? What are you doing right now? It's always about right now. Right now, in your experience, are you and I a descendant of Adam? Are we a descendant of Christ? Are we behaving in our experience like the human of the earth, the human of the soul, human of the flesh? Or are we living in our experience like a child of the second Adam, dependent upon him in our spirit? The second is greater. The second Adam is greater than the first. Two more applications about it that we'll point out just this morning. The second birth is greater than the first. We went up to the hospital and was wanting to just see if we could catch a glimpse of Caitlin. And we had the nursery there anyway. Beverly was standing by the crib with the back toward the window. And I wish you could just flash up a picture. Couldn't see her face, but you could. It was emanating joy and peace and thankfulness, and just emanating the glory of life being brought into the world, which is the gift of God. And you just getting that from the back of her head. Because she wouldn't turn around. I was doing jumping jacks, beating on the window, trying to get the nurse's attention over there. Finally, it was like the third person that came through there that finally was able to get her attention so she could turn around. And if you thought the back of her head was showing all that, when you could just see it on her face. And a little bit later, Larry came out. It was the same look on his face. So birth is a miracle. It's a miracle, isn't it? That's another principle of God. You know, some say God doesn't perform miracles. The truth of it is God performs so many miracles that we don't even recognize them anymore. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. But no matter how wonderful that is, a person's second birth is greater. That we come to a point in our life where, like Nicodemus, who was a rabbi, who came to Jesus and recognized him as a rabbi, he came at night. Jesus was showing signs, changing the water into wine, clearing the temple. He was doing things to indicate that he was the Messiah, that he would save the nation of Israel. And Nicodemus couldn't stand it anymore, so he went to him by night and said, "What? Tell me." Jesus said, "You got to be born again." And that word "again" has two meanings in the scripture. It means again, and it means from above, and it means both. Jesus said, "You got to be born again. You got to be born from above. You got to be born like the wind blows where it wills. You got to be born of the Spirit. Be born again." Whatever our birthday is when we came into this world, unless we have a spiritual birthday where we can point to a time when we've invited Jesus Christ into our heart and life as our Savior and Lord, when we do that, that's ties in what we're saying. We're no longer born out of the Adam. We're born again into the new Adam. Christ descendant. And that second birth is greater than the first. Here is a reality. Here is a truth. If we're not born a second time, it would have been better not to have been born the first time. The first birth only has meaning if it leads to the second birth. And that decision can come in a process, at the end of a process. I've heard a tale of somebody being engaged or being going with someone for 4 years before they asked him to marry him. A process. Others get married after about 4 minutes. They say, "This is it, you know. We just have to figure this out as we go. It's probably not going to, you know, it's going to be rough and probably if I'm going to get you to marry me at all, we better make it maybe 3.5 minutes before you find out too much about me." But either way, was at the end of 4 or 5 years or at the end of 4 or 5 minutes, a person knows they're married because they at some point say, "I do. I do." And the other person says, "I do." And same way with being born again. We may have grown up in the church. We have been moving toward it for years and years, and it may be more of a continuation of that process where then after 4 years we know the other person really well, but then we come and say, "I do." It's just kind of a natural thing. "I accept you, Lord." But it's got to be sure it's of the heart and not just a mental assertion. And just naturally say, "Yes, Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior." But it's not just going on. There is that moment when the "I do's" are exchanged. We exchange vows with the Lord. And He becomes our Savior and Lord. And then for others, it's more, we're living in sin, we're away from God, we find about Jesus Christ, and we turn and say, "I accept you, Lord." And it's more dramatic, and it's more, and we get married in a dramatic fashion. But still, it's that faith in Jesus Christ from the heart that is what's important. The second birth is greater than the first. And here's the second. The second death is greater than the first death. Listen to what this one father wrote about the first death. The first death of a person may be a very tragic event. Just listen to the pain of this father about the death that he encountered. He writes, "The rays of a late morning struck me full in the face as I stepped out of the door of the hospital. The squint of my eyes, however, was not caused by the rays of the sun. It was a visible display of the anguish and despair that wrecked my very life. I had just spent several hours with my sobbing wife. I was about to keep the appointment that would prove to be the emotional climax of the day my existence fell apart. On my way to that appointment, I stopped at a restaurant to have a cup of coffee and to bolster my courage. I was oblivious to everything except the appointment that awaited me. I then made my way to a big white house located on a corner. I followed the owner into a large room where he left me alone. I slowly made my way across a thick rug to a table on the far side of the room. Upon the table was a white box. I stood before that white box for endless eternities before I finally summoned enough courage to peer over the top and down upon the lifeless body of my son. At that sight, my world collapsed. The first death can be a terrible thing. But the message of the scripture is the second death is far worse. Second death is us being separated from God forever. The scripture, God in the scripture, condescends to talk to us on our level. And so often, God has to speak in terms that we can understand, but do not fully describe the reality of which he's talking about. The second death is such a thing. Hell, which leads to the second death. Hell, second death, eternal separation from God. Scripture tries to give us glimpses of it, and we're going to just mention a few, but here's the bottom line of it is, God says, principle floats up about the second death is, you imagine the worst thing you can ever imagine. The Bible talks about it as being outside in the darkness where the worms never stop feeding in fire. And, you know, I'm told, and I'm thankful I've never had experience with it, that one of the most painful things ongoing, even the healing process, is severe burn. That I've heard even in the healing process, people say, I just wish I'd have died than have to go through the pain of trying to recover from severe burn. God says it's like eternal fire, being eternal fire. He uses a word that's often just translated hell, says it's like Gehenna, which is the garbage dump of Jerusalem. We become garbage compared to what God created us to be. We become so disfigured, so marred, so broken that God just has to throw us out because we're no good. No good to ourselves, we're no good. We're into eternal garbage dump. However, the second death is greater than the first. So again, the principle, as all the principles really do, drive us to Christ. And to have faith in him and dependence upon him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the scripture says, of this second death, and death in general, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But grace be to God, who is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.